host, Jeff Ragavan, and welcome to the Alchemy Podcast, where we're on a quest to explore the intersection of cannabis, compliance, and creative in the marketing world today and beyond.
Welcome back to this week's episode of Alchemy. Today I'm joined with Brian Buckley. He's the president and CEO of Hellman Valley Growers. Brian, great to have you on the show.
Well, fantastic to be here, and thanks for having me.
Absolutely. For everybody that's listening right now, Hellman Valley Growers is actually based in California. They're a cannabis manufacturer that donates 100% of their profits to the Battle Brothers Foundation. And Brian is also founder of Battle Brothers. He's on the board of directors. He's co-founder of Invictus International. He was actually a team commander at the U.S. Marine Raiders and also a former NCAA division fullback. So, Brian, very impressive background and really excited to have you on the show today. But I think, you know, since maybe retiring the football jersey for a soldier's uniform, you're now in civilian clothes and, you know, running a cannabis company. So I think, for one, what an inspiring career. And would love to know how this really kind of all came together. I mean, you really have this impressive background. And we always talk to people who kind of move into cannabis from different worlds. And would love to hear from you on really what was that moment for you that you, you know, decided to move into the cannabis world?
Yeah, you know, it's a very interesting path how I got here. I remember where I grew up in an area called Doylestown, Pennsylvania. We had a lights out football program there for just over three decades called Central Bucks West High School. And we usually ranked, you know, top 10 in the nation and stuff. And I remember my junior year, I had a good game in the Eastern State title playoff game. And the former coach that was coaching against us, he was once the coach at United States Naval Academy in Annapolis. So I started receiving letters from them. And I just remember how fired up my dad was. And I had no desire to go into the military. So went to University of Massachusetts and played football there. And then once the events at 9/11 happened, I decided it was time for me to go earn my citizenship. So I transferred to Villanova University and got into the ROTC program for 2 years there, then received a commission and spent my 9 years in the United States Marine Corps in the infantry reconnaissance and then in special operations. And when I walked out, I was deemed 100% disabled by the VA. Mm-hmm. And I was working for an ed tech firm, and it really kind of hit me at just some of the lack of support we were having for members who transition out of the military into the veteran world. It's gotten a lot better as of late, but for the most part, it was really everything was kind of focused on the active duty aspect, which is great. And there's a ton of great nonprofits doing work, but just really wanted to help out veterans on that side to kind of let them go forward and, you know, find something they want to do and live that American dream they fought so hard to defend. But I was just having a lot of issues with sleeping and pain, and it was finally someone that introduced me to cannabis. And the first time I tried it, it was really like a warm blanket, you know, felt like it came over my brain. It was like the first time I was at peace, and I got my first night of sleep in I don't know how long. So I just kind of looked at it saying, you know, there's a lot of great veteran advocacy groups out here, one that I'm a member of called the Veterans Action Council. But I wanted to see how we can move the, you know, the needle in the more positive direction to help with federal legalization, at least on the medicinal level. So I had an opportunity to meet with some members of Congress and ask them, what do we need to do in order to get medical cannabis into the VA system? And they said, if you can go get data and get American doctors to validate it, you're going to have a good argument. And through a bunch of twists and turns and all that good stuff, we finally formed a partnership through our nonprofit Battle Brothers Foundation with a company called Niomedic Healthcare and Research Services that's based out of Israel, and they've been doing cannabis research for about two decades. And then we were able to bring University of California at Irvine on as our American doctors, and they will be doing what we call our principal investigators for our institutional review board approved study to see if medical cannabis can reduce the symptoms of post-traumatic stress.
Mm, incredible. I think, you know, for you, you know, and everything that you're involved in, everything that you're doing, and also kind of your, you know, focus on, you know, being an athlete as well, you obviously know all about the, you know, the healing powers, if you will, of the plant. And, you know, really, I think on the football side too, you know, the pain that they deal with, especially, you know, not just injuries, but then, you know, really serious, you know, traumatic, you know, brain disorders. So there's obviously a lot of research out there. And, you know, I was excited to have you on the show just because, you know, the NFL recently announced that they're now investing in cannabis studies. And, you know, from your kind of vantage point, you know, how do you think this will really impact, you know, the future of regulations and public perceptions around the plant? Because this is a very big move, right? And I know it got a lot of attention from all sorts of folks, athletes, entrepreneurs, cannabis operators. You know, what's your view of the whole thing?
You know, I think it's great. I've had a very, you know, fortunate opportunity where I've become friends with guys who played in the NFL. And when you sit and talk with them about some of the ailments they face, especially after they hang up their cleats, it's amazing the parallel that we have as veterans and then what they have as NFL veterans. And it's very similar. And you just kind of look at this plant with all the upside potential. A guy I just recently became friends with, and it's just a great guy and is doing really tremendous things, I think, on the NFL side with cannabis, is a gentleman named Kyle Turley, who played for the Rams and the Saints. And we spent a weekend together, and he just kind of went through everything his body was dealing with post his playing times and how much better he started feeling and looking after he started using cannabis. And it totally changed his life. And, you know, I look at things like what we have in the military, we call it traumatic brain injury. Well, the NFL calls it CTE, but it's a very, you know, very similar brothers, if not very close cousins. I mean, it's like the same thing. And you just see the healing impact that cannabis can provide. And to kind of top that, working with the doctors in Israel out of Niamedic, I mean, they said to me one time, you know, if you look at your players in the NFL and they go into the blue tent and they get deemed that they're concussed, the best thing to do for them at that moment is to start giving them some medical cannabis, because it will reduce the brain swelling and help the recovery period. And I was just kind of blown away by it, but we're starting to see that with similar testing. If you look at when a active duty member of the military gets hit by a blast wave, say an IED, maybe the IED didn't physically hit them and they don't shrapnel, but the massive blast wave that's going through them, it can concuss them. So I just think we're just at the beginning here. And I commend the NFL for finally kind of raising their hand and saying, you know what, we need to look into this because we need to ensure our players, you know, have a good life after their playing days. And I think it will help them out as they're playing too with recovery. And the NFL being such a big American business, obviously you're going to get some, you know, heads turned when they start looking at it. And I have no doubt they're going to find positive results. But ultimately, it's just going to help out everyone who can benefit from cannabis.
Totally. You know, I think one thing, especially for vets and also, you know, athletes, is one of the things that they've really turned to for, you know, treating pain is really utilizing very serious painkillers, right? Which then gets them into addiction issues. And so, you know, we've had so many people on the show have really talked about, you know, how cannabis can help them, not only not in a non-addictive way, but also a much healthier way. You know, what are you seeing, at least from the vet side, you know, people coming back from, you know, having all these injuries and then they get hooked on these drugs? You know, it sounds like it's a big problem.
It most definitely is. You know, we deal with the VA medical system and they are a federal organization and they got to conduct themselves as such. And I believe the VA does a lot of good. They got the right people who want to do good by our veterans. But again, they're limited because they're a federal organization. And, you know, we've really started having an issue with the opiate situation. I mean, that's kind of all that we had in the arsenals when you're dealing with veterans who have physical wounds and some wounds you can't see. They're just being prescribed all these opiates. And then you're starting to see more problems manifest from that, where we have some veterans that are taking up to 15 pills a day and they're taking uppers and downers and then everything to counter that. And, you know, sometimes they kind of get to that numb spot where they don't really know if they have a sense of purpose and they turn to alcohol and they kind of compound all that. And you're starting to see veterans take their own life. And that was one of the main reasons why we got so behind medical cannabis, is because we know the upside potential of this plant and we know all the good that it could do for our military members. So, you know, I just think, again, this is the beginning of something very special. And I believe the medical landscape in our country will probably shift dramatically, probably within the next 5 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I got to tell you, I think even for myself, you know, I definitely, you know, I went through some like weird times. You know, I grew up in New York, and, you know, kind of started my career in like the late 90s, early 2000s. And then September 11th happened, right? And it was really, it was just one of those very strange times to live in New York City, thinking that nothing would ever come back to normal, which of course it did. Mm-hmm. But that year, you know, just with all of the ambulances and the, you know, just constant try to get rid of the, you know, rubble and all the people that died. And I knew so many people that were impacted either with their lives or their jobs. Yeah. And it was just very hard for us to sleep, you know, if, you know, being in New York City during September 11th, like even months after that, it was just very difficult. And I remember saying to my doctor, like, I just cannot sleep. Yeah. You know, just anxiety, I guess, and stress of figuring out what's going to happen in the market. And so I basically, there's a reason for this story, but I was prescribed Ambien. And it was like, to me, it was like a miracle pill, because like you take that Ambien and you go to sleep. You know, later though, what would happen is that I couldn't sleep without it. And I travel a lot for work. And so I was literally on the road, you know, making sure I have the Ambien. And I think I was probably on it for, I'm not even kidding, maybe 12 years. Mm-hmm. Like could not sleep without it. And it wasn't until, you know, a few years ago where I finally said, you know, this is really not healthy, because they don't know the long-term effects, you know, of Ambien. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I switched to just kind of taking an edible at night. And it's kind of game changing, right? It's like you wake up in the morning, you feel refreshed and relaxed, and you get a good night's sleep, and there's no harmful, you know, chemicals that are impacting your mood or your brain. And so I think there's a lot of people out there that have gone through similar issues, you know, on all sorts of prescription drugs. And so it's kind of amazing to see all the great things that are happening around the plant today. Mm-hmm. But I think even pharmaceutical companies are starting to take note. Like you, I'm sure you saw this recently with Pfizer. You know, they just bought a company that's, you know, focusing their research on cannabis, you know, for, you know, treating cancer. And so it's like, you know, all these years and the war of drugs and all these years of, you know, cannabis is bad has really stifled research for serious medical, you know, innovation. Which is bothersome, right? Because we've lost a lot of years on that capacity. So one thing that I definitely wanted to also, you know, talk to you about, right, is, you know, if we can get the NFL to move, right, and start, you know, thinking about the plant and how they can, you know, help treat their players and whatnot. What about the VA? Like, obviously, big bureaucracies there.
Yeah.
You know, how do we... how do we help that? Like, how do we make change there?
You know, yeah, I think that's, it's going to have to be obviously through research. And that was one of the motivating factors of what we're doing. You know, one of the benefits we have kind of as a byproduct is one of the doctors that sits on the UC Irvine side of the house, that would be our principal investigators. She worked at the VA. She actually lost a veteran to suicide after the VA cut off opiates altogether without weaning veterans off. And, you know, what I'm doing on a personal level is, you know, I look at this is a bipartisan situation. And I'm a Marine and I treat everything just apolitical. And I'm working with both members of Democrats and Republicans in the House and the Senate and explaining what we're doing and setting up meetings and want to keep informing them of our research as we progress with it, just so they can start seeing things happen. And, you know, eventually you're going to have people like ourselves. You'll have the NFL. I know the University of Pennsylvania is looking to contract a private farm and start doing their own research. I think there's going to get hit overwhelming benefits of what cannabis can do. And they're not going to have a choice in the matter. And that's probably when you're going to see the pharmaceutical companies say, okay, we can make money off of this. Let's go and buy some of these companies and start distributing it. I think that's when it's going to start to turn. And I don't, again, I can't put everything in the 5-year bubble, but again, I just think the way things are seeing kind of the flavor of how things are moving with our population. I mean, I was talking to a senator in Arizona and we brought up that in one poll, it showed 81% of people who were surveyed in Arizona would agree with the VA giving cannabis to veterans. And I just said, you know, this day and age of how big of a political nightmare this country is in with, you know, Republicans can't talk to Democrats and vice versa. I'm like, you can't get 81% of Americans to agree Monday happens on a Monday now. I'm like, now you're seeing this like overwhelming, you know, what are we waiting for? And again, while it's still a Schedule I narcotic, that's going to hold up a lot of things on the research side, but there are people being out there creative who are finding solutions in order to get accredited research done. I mean, that's why we had to go out and get an institutional review board so that we were approved to conduct human trials. Without something like that, no one's going to take you serious, but it's coming. And I think you're kind of the war on drugs side is kind of falling off a little bit. I still think you have, I would say in the Republican side of the house, I think many are still very Reagan Republican in terms of drugs are bad. Well, we need to kind of change the narrative of drug abuse is bad. I mean, if I wake up after, you know, I had my shoulder redone, them giving me morphine is incredibly appropriate at that time. But if it's 3 weeks later and I'm walking down the street trying to find morphine, that's wrong.
Right.
You know, so that's where we kind of have to shift the narrative a little bit and kind of let them understand what this is, what it's actually doing. And, you know, for us, we know we're going to be administering it via microdosing. It's not going to be a ton of cannabis in somewhere where they're going to be insanely high. It's going to be more something with low THC, high CBD, just enough to punch it into the endocannabinoid system and let the medicine do what it has to do. And we're finding at nighttime, we need to kind of crank up the THC because veterans will sleep better with that in their system. But again, nothing abusing it. It's just doing it the right way, improving it. So we think once we established a formulation and a recommended treatment protocol, and I'm sure the other research individuals will do the same, I just think it's going to come more and more together, and you know, the science will not lie.
Totally. So, you know, I know we're kind of running out of time on this show, which, you know, we have really interesting people on. The time tends to go by really fast. But, you know, one thing that I did want to talk to you about today also is, you know, obviously you're, you know, one of the founders of the Battle Brothers Foundation. And I find it amazing that you guys really, you know, you donate 100% of the profits, you know, to really study, you know, how cannabis can help treat all these issues that we've talked about today facing vets. And so, you know, I think for one, you know, you guys obviously, you guys grow, correct?
Well, we don't cultivate right now. We're working on that. But right now we've just been kind of doing the wholesale, but we manufacture and put all of our products together.
Got it. Okay. So just from like running a business, if you, you know, donate 100% of all the profits, like who's paying for, you know, the org to kind of be in existence?
Yeah. You know, it's really, the idea came from a Paul Newman salad dressing bottle where it goes 100% of profits to charity. Right. So, you know, I always tell people like, you know, like, I want to get into cannabis. What's the first thing I need to do or start a cannabis business? I'm like, get a CPA and get a lawyer who understands tax code 280E. And when we sat down with our CPA and lawyer said, hey, we want to do this. How does it work? They're like, listen, profits are profits. Once you pay your bills and you do all this, whatever you got left over is your profit. If you want to go buy a building that month, you're going to have a little less profits. So we just kind of do there once, you know, we kind of pay for everyone's salary. I mean, I'm still not taking the salary, but we have people who work for us. We take care of them and, you know, pay all of our bills and electric and all that stuff. Whatever we have remaining over, boom, we just kick right back into our nonprofit. You know, for example, the first $50,000 of profits that we received, we put that into a study design that we needed in order to get approval from an institutional review board. And obviously $50,000 for someone to put together basically a protocol is pretty expensive, but that's what it took. And from there, we just kind of keep putting money in. And, you know, the great thing too about the cannabis community is, you know, so many people want to work together. You know, you kind of come into this as an athlete or someone in the military and you think competition, you got to knock these people off the shelf and be the last one standing. It's not so much like that in cannabis. Everyone wants to work together and help each other, with the exception of who might be a bad actor who's in it for the wrong reasons. They get kind of outed relatively quick. So we got, you know, quote unquote competitors who will brand some of their stuff with our nonprofit logo, and they'll donate money back to us to kind of help us carry on what we're doing, because we're essentially, we kind of look at ourselves as a tip of the spear. I mean, I can look at someone in Congress and say, you sent me to war, now it's your turn to fix me. And they can't really say much about it. So, you know, I just love how the community kind of rallies around us to help us get going. But, you know, anyone out there too, if you want to help donate, you go to battlebrothersfoundation.org and You can help donate to our cause and see some of the other approaches we take to work with veterans. We're never going to sit here and just say, you give a veteran cannabis, their life's going to be great. It needs to be a holistic approach that, you know, they have mind, body, and spirit are all aligned so they can go out there and do some great things for our country.
I love it. Well, Brian, listen, I think, you know, one, you guys are doing amazing work. You're doing an amazing job. Obviously, like, what an incredible story, you know, everything that you've done in your career and what you're doing now. So, you know, for one, obviously appreciate your service and appreciate everything you're doing to really push cannabis forward, especially, you know, for vets and athletes. So thank you. And it was a pleasure having you on. And, you know, I learn something new every single time I have someone on the show.
Well, that's fantastic. I really appreciate that. And hey, the pleasure's all mine. Enjoyed being here and look forward to future conversations.
Awesome, Brian. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you.
This episode of the Alchemy Podcast was brought to you by Philo. Thanks for tuning in. And if you enjoyed today's show, don't forget to subscribe and share.